And welcome back. I'm Steve Kraske. Well, a lot of people, myself included, didn't think he could do it. But Kansas City's Jason Kander has pulled off a rare political feat. He's gone from state representative for the 44th district to statewide office. A week ago yesterday, Jason Kander was elected Secretary of State in a very narrow win over Republican Shane Scholer. Kander didn't know until late in the evening that he had won. It took returns from St. Louis City to push him over the top. And Jason Kander joins us here this morning. And welcome, and man, congratulations. What a terrific feat.
Thanks, Steve. It's
so good to have you here. Yeah. When it was 10:30 on election night and you were trailing, I'm wondering, did you think you were going to pull it off, or did you have your doubts?
Well, I was pretty confident throughout the whole campaign and throughout election night that our message of a nonpartisan approach in the Secretary of State's office, having the courage to stand up and do what's right regardless of who's on the other side, I was confident all along that that would carry the day. That said, at 10:30, it was pretty close.
Yes. So, and you were behind a little bit, I think, at 10:30.
We were. And what was really a neat experience about it was we were behind at that point. We knew that there were some areas that we thought we would do very well in that were still out and hadn't come in yet. But right around that time, or a little bit after that, is when Kansas City came in. And all of the Democrats got a little bit of a bump out of Kansas City. But what was really sort of gratifying for me is we got an appreciably larger bump out of Kansas City coming in. And you know, that meant a lot to me to know that there were independents and Republicans in my hometown who, one, recognized that was my hometown, but two, felt like they knew me and wanted to support me. And that's when it really – the tide started to turn.
You know, Jason, what's that like, though? You know, 10:15, 10:30 on election night. You've only put in a year and change, 15 months of effort into this run for statewide office, and you're sitting there, you're behind a little bit. Take us into that room. That's got to be – that's, you know, you're a pretty laid-back guy, but that's got to get to anybody, though, a little bit, I would think.
Well, you know, obviously it's an anxious moment, but – I had the advantage of knowing that we had done absolutely everything we could do. And that's a really great feeling. I mean, on Tuesday, I had decided earlier in the day that on Wednesday, whether we won or whether we lost, that I was going to have the comfort of knowing that we had done absolutely everything we could possibly do in this campaign.
And that takes a load off your back a little bit.
It really does, because I knew that if I lost, I wasn't going to spend any time on Wednesday thinking about, well, if I had only worked this much harder, if I had only, you know, I was really proud of two things. One, we had three things, I guess. I had said exactly what I wanted to say the whole campaign. Two, we had not left anything on the field. We had worked incredibly hard. And three, at no point did we compromise our values or what we believed in to move the campaign forward. We stuck to what we believed in the whole time.
We're visiting with Missouri Secretary of State-elect Jason Kander. I mean, what is it like for you winning a statewide office at age 31? I mean, it does fall into the category of life-changing, I assume, at some extent, doesn't it?
Well, I hope not. I really like my life as it is.
Yeah.
But I guess what I would say is, to me, the age part, you know, people do mention that, but it's not that big of a deal to me because for me,
because you're the younger one. Those of us looking up from on high see it a little differently.
Well, I guess, but the reason it's not a big deal to me is because I felt from the beginning like I was the right person to do this job. I felt like I could do the job. I felt like I was the best candidate for the office, and that's why I ran. And so obviously it's gratifying to see the people of Missouri agree with me, you know, in the election. But to me, it was really all along just all about a really important job and an approach that I had to the office that I thought was the right approach.
You know, how hard did you work? You know, take us behind the scenes a little bit, Jason, and give us a sense of what it meant to run for statewide office, just in terms of the time commitment and the miles traveled in the old car and all those kinds of things.
Well, you know me, Steve. I only have one gear. So I just did sort of what I did in my first campaign for the state house. I mean, you know, back in 08, I knocked on 20,000 doors myself in order to get elected. And I looked at the state from the very beginning and said, okay, well, I probably can't knock on all the doors, but what we can do is we can just try and be absolutely everywhere and meet as many people as possible. And we were really confident in our message. You know, the idea that this is an office where you really need someone who would take a nonpartisan approach and just do the job and stand up and do what's right.
Mm-hmm.
And we also knew that we had to do everything we could to get that message to everybody, you know, as many people as we possibly could, or it didn't really matter that we had a great message if people didn't know about it. So we got in the car and you know, we put about 90,000 miles on the roads of Missouri. And
90,000.
Yeah. And
that's a lot of miles.
We just, I mean, we, I slept in the in a lot of different places at, you know, the homes of supporters. We had supporters in every part of the state who just knew, okay. And the great thing was they were really great about the fact that sometimes we'd give them a day or 2 days' notice at most, and they'd just clear the guest room or a couple of guest rooms, and there we were. We didn't spend any money on hotels because we didn't have the money for it. And we would travel a lot at night so that we could campaign during the day. You know, in the last stretch of the campaign, for instance, my wife went with me, and we were on the road for about a week at that stretch. We did a lot of door knocking in the last week because at that point we were just going to go find the voters wherever we could.
Where'd you knock on doors?
We picked 20 House districts across the state. Actually, the idea was is that, you know, in my first race, I knocked on 20,000 doors. And so in the last week of this campaign, we wanted to knock on doors in 20 districts across the state. And so we went to a lot of areas that were swing areas and important areas. And I think what happened over the course of the year, frankly, is, you know, we met people at every community event we could, every county fair, everything. And I think a lot of people went home or went to church on Sunday and said, I met this guy who's running for Secretary of State. And when you win by a little over 33,000 votes, you can look at that margin and say, that's probably the effect of all those hands that we shook and the people that they talked to. In fact, at one point when we were up by about 2,800 votes. I think there was like 1% of precincts or 2% left. And we were standing in front of the computer, and I was with Abe, my campaign manager. And I turned to Abe and I said, 2,800 votes. I said, that's county fairs. And and so, you know, it's really gratifying when you put in that kind of work to I mean, obviously, you would always like to have a larger margin of victory, but it's gratifying to know that really counted, that really made an impact.
Well, help me understand this, though. I mean, you're running for Secretary of State, and Jason, you know, I guess the harsh reality here is most Missourians don't really give three hoots about who Secretary of State is. So given that, how do you find a way to connect with people that's meaningful enough that they'll think, oh, yes, I care enough to remember Jason Kander, whom I met 4 months ago, and I'm going to cast a ballot for him come Election Day, because nobody cares, right?
Yeah, well, you just got to march right through that. And so what we did, for instance, is, you know, a lot of folks in politics, like if they're going to go to a county fair and shake hands, they feel like they've got to have a booth there, or they feel like they've got to have somebody to walk them around. And sometimes we did have that. But, you know,
a local person to walk you around who will say, hey, here's Betty and Bill and here's – yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes we had that advantage. But for the most part, our objective was – just to meet as many people as possible. So I would have campaign literature in my back pocket, and we would go to, say, a county fair, and we'd get out, and we would just walk up, and I would just, you know, after you've done it, you know, about 1,000 times, just introduce yourself to people who are not ready for it, and it's a rather random experience for them. You get completely past that. I mean, at that point, you can do it, you know. After a while, I would come back to Kansas City and we'd, you know, occasionally have a night off or something, and I'd take my wife out to dinner, and I would resist the urge to shake every hand in the restaurant, because you just get in a pattern of just meeting as many people as possible and having conversations with them.
And you get completely – you're okay with it. It's not an uncomfortable thing to walk up to strangers and say, here's who I am and I'm running and – and most people, I imagine a lot of people look at you with this blank look like, yeah, okay. And
at first, and then they, and what was interesting was, for the most part, people just really appreciate that you're there and that you're going to introduce yourself, particularly when they realize you're a statewide candidate and you're taking the time to introduce yourself to them personally. It was, to me, very much like, you know, in my first race when I would go door to door. At first, people were a little, okay, who's at my door? And then instantly they thought, or at least what they expressed was, well, I really appreciate that you're here to talk to me personally. And what was interesting is the closer you get to the election, the more engaged folks are.
You can feel it, can't you? Mm-hmm. People do begin to pay attention. And
the
you
context
know what's
is
going
there.
On. Yeah.
So they're prepared for that conversation more.
Secretary of State Jason Kander is here. Secretary of State-elect Jason Kander is here. He's a Kansas City state rep. If you want to join our conversation with a question for Jason, what his plans are, how he won this office to begin with, 816-235-2888 is our phone number, our email address, up to date at kcur.org, or go to KCUR's Facebook page. Okay, let's go back to the fall of 2011. Mm-hmm. And Robin Carnahan, the incumbent, announces that after two terms, she's not doing it again. What made you think, as a state rep from Kansas City, that you could win a statewide office going from that kind of base? Because if we had sat down for lunch mm-hmm. and you had asked me, what do you think, Kraske, about doing something like this, I might have said, probably would have said, you know, that's a really big leap. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to get beat, and you're going to see the, you know, your political career begin to take a nosedive. What made you think you could pull something like this off?
Well, let me first start with sort of the long odds, you know, which I think anyone in this state.
Stupid odds, Jason. Not long, stupid.
Well, you know? I think in Missouri, I mean, Missouri's a state that looks at each race, I think, pretty individually and looks at the candidates pretty individually. And so
that's very clear from this election, isn't it?
Right. And I believed that from the beginning, and I just believed that if I could make my argument that I could win. But also, I think that you, as any candidate, particularly in an open seat, if you've not held statewide office before, no matter what party you are, no matter what, you know, what office you come out of, I think that you start with sort of long odds to begin with, just because it's Missouri and it's a state that, you know, they're going to look very closely at each race, and it's going to be a close race regardless. And so I started knowing that. And really, I didn't think this may be hard to believe, but I didn't think that much about the question of what is the likelihood of winning, because what the conclusion I came to was this office has become so incredibly important in this state. And
that's very true. Yeah.
With ballot initiatives, yes. And with access to the ballot.
We'll talk about
and everything.
Yeah.
And so I was really much more driven by the fact that I felt like I was the right candidate for the job, and I felt like I had the ability to win. And I was much more motivated by a feeling that I therefore had to try. And so I guess in a way I never really spent that much time at the very beginning thinking about
the odds and
right because I
why
just
me and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. When you feel like you've to me I felt like I've got to do this. And so then there's not a lot of sense in getting into the odds.
You know, you faced a couple of challenges right out of the gate, and one of them, I don't want to get into hot water here with you and political relations and all this stuff, but there's a guy in town who was thinking about running for this office too. His name is Mike Sanders. He's the Jackson County executive. And at one point, you two sort of had a face down here about, well, which one of us is going to make this run? Tell us what you can about that and how you sort of walked away from that thing still in the race. And Mike Sanders was the one who sort of blinked and walked away from it.
Well, I guess what I would say about it is this, is that
I know I'm putting you on the spot.
I'll say this. I'm really, really glad and really fortunate that Mike Sanders was the chair of the party during this cycle.
Yeah.
You know, I think he did a good job. But also for me personally, having a chair of the party from the Kansas City area was only helpful. And so I think what it all speaks to is really sort of an overarching desire among many of us to make sure that there was somebody in the office who we felt we had confidence in.
Yeah, my sense of that meeting was that you sort of walked in and said, listen, I'm going to run for this thing. I want to run for this thing. This is what I'm about right now, and I'm not getting out, because that's you're committed to it, and that's really as simple as it was. Am I right about that?
Well, I knew exactly what I wanted to do, but you'll forgive me if I'm not going to get into conversations that Mike and I had.
But the point is you wanted to run, and you made that very clear.
I had made the decision to run.
Okay.
Absolutely.
The other challenge out of the gate, I noticed that you gathered a lot of endorsements really, really quickly to sort of build a base of support. Clearly, that was by design. Mm-hmm. You wanted to get people on board to say, hey, I may be a state rep, but I'm a guy to be reckoned with in this race. What were you thinking at that point in the race?
I recognized that, you know, in terms of increasing our chances of winning in November, one of the things that was really important was to have the Democratic Party united behind me. And I felt that from the very beginning that whoever won or whoever ran for the Democratic Party needed to have a solid and united base. And so what I did is one of the first things I did is I made sure to demonstrate support from the St. Louis area. One of the advantages of serving in the House is that I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of folks who are pretty influential in St. Louis. And frankly, as a member of the Budget Committee, I took it upon myself a couple of years ago to get to know other parts of the state real well, because when you're on the Budget Committee, you're not just on the Budget Committee for your district.
Yeah, right.
And so I had built some relationships in St. Louis that, and I had built some trust out there, and those folks felt like, you know, fortunately for me, they felt like I was the right person for the job. And we made sure to move very quickly to make that very clear. And then I had amazing support here. I mean, obviously, as you know, Mayor James is a very close friend of mine.
Yeah.
And he was very quick out of the gate to endorse me. And that helped quite a lot because, it's important to have St. Louis. But on the other hand, you got to have, your hometown, too. And we also, one of the things I thought was, I was really proud of at the very beginning is we announced within the first week a long list of rural area Democratic endorsements.
That's interesting.
Which I don't think a lot of folks do early on in what they think might be a primary. And so we were really focused on running a general election campaign from the very beginning.
Jason Kander is our guest. In January, he becomes Missouri's next Secretary of State. Our phone number here, 816-235-2888. Let's go to some phone calls here. Ralph from Blue Springs. Ralph, you're on with Jason Kander. Good morning.
Hey, thanks, guys. I just wanted kind of a minor correction, but I wanted to correct one of Steve's assumptions when he asked Jason a couple of minutes ago about the approach in running for this kind of office when you might be thinking a lot of people don't care
right.
about the Secretary of State office at the state level. And so just to challenge that briefly to say not everybody feels that way. A lot of us do care. Any kind of state-level office at that level, we still put our conscience into it. And just so I guess I just want to encourage Jason that this is important and we do take it seriously.
Well, I really appreciate that. And that is what I found over the course of the campaign is that, I think that Missouri voters are really, I think they're really unique and I think they're really something special. I think they're very engaged. And I think more than anything, and if you look at the way this election came out, I think it proves that they are not as partisan as some of their politicians are.
Mm-hmm.
People, you look at that ballot, people bounced all over that ballot.
All over the place.
Right,
yeah.
They were making choices. And you can't make those kind of choices if you're not pretty engaged and pretty informed. And that's what I found throughout the campaign.
Well, thanks for the good call. Kevin from Kansas City, Missouri. Kevin, you're on with Jason Kander. Good morning.
Hi there. Good morning. Another great show. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Kevin.
Absolutely. Congratulations on the win, Mr. Kander.
Thank you.
I think most all of us perceive that it's great for the people and all that kind of stuff, and it's dynamite. The great thing about this is, and it's kind of a blessing and a curse, is that, boy, once you get your name in, blessing and a curse, you're going to almost be guaranteed, because now there's the name identification, that people will re-elect you. So that's kind of great. The thing is, and I think this is an easy thing for you in the long term, I think you'll, keep in mind and all that kind of stuff, where you're coming from and who you're serving and that kind of thing. But the trouble is that there's a Republican majority down in Jeff City, and I've been pushing for this since they did away with it, that we, besides pushing for more ethics and so forth in state government, we've got to get those campaign finance limits put back in. So I'm saying, besides just the great work and all that stuff that I think we all know you'll do, we'd like you to not forget that and keep tilting at the windmill and try to get that back.
Kevin, good phone call. What about campaign finance limits? As you know, Jason, better than anybody, voters can give donate to a candidate $100,000 or $500,000, and that's happening in Missouri. Mm-hmm. Does that need to change?
Absolutely, and I really appreciate Kevin bringing it up. I have believed all along that the chief election officer of the state is in a unique position to advocate for campaign reform, because I think that's the true fraud in our elections.
And that's been one of your big issues since you arrived in Jefferson City back in 2008, right?
Yeah. And for me, as an intelligence officer in Afghanistan, I did anti-corruption work in the Afghan government. I came home, I got elected, I got to Jefferson City and found out there was plenty of anti-corruption work for me to do in Jefferson City. And so that's been – I'm a really big believer in the idea that when you can make the system as fair as possible, then what you're really doing is you're creating better outcomes. And so I think that campaign finance reform and ethics reform is a big part of that, and it's something that I'm looking forward to working with the legislature on it. You know, and the thing is, it's not a partisan problem. It's not a Republican problem or a Democratic problem. I mean, this is really a Missouri problem. We're the only state in the country with the combination of unlimited lobbyist gifts and unlimited campaign contributions. And, you know, you just look at our race. I mean, our opponent, you know, our race was probably made a lot closer by the fact that our opponent got $500,000 from a D.C. political action committee in the last week after getting over $400,000 from one individual.
From Rex Singfield, you're taking the words out of my mouth. $400,000 from one individual in the state, an individual who has a big stake in how the ballot language gets worded that you'll be so much involved in as Secretary of State. Again, that just is jaw-dropping that we're seeing that kind of money flow in from single individuals here.
I think – and the thing is yes, we won and we were able to overcome it, but it doesn't change the fact that the system is completely broken. And I just think we have an obligation to fix it. I think that there's more and more a realization in the legislature that this has gotten out of hand at this point. And I think you know, I've had conversations with Democrats and Republicans who have said that now. And I think people are going to be surprised with the amount of momentum that we have to make some changes.
We'll talk about that a little bit because Republicans in the House now have an historic advantage, majority, 110 members of the 163 members in the House. What incentive do they have to come to the table on this issue? They've walked away from it and they keep winning. So why would they be enticed to come along with Jason Kander and begin to change some of these rules?
Well, I think you can, for me, start with just the fact that, you know, those folks, regardless of which party they are, when they get elected and they want to do what's right. And like I said, I just don't believe this is a partisan issue. Now, sometimes when you look at the legislature in Jefferson City, you have to look at it and say, okay, they're gonna do what's right after exhausting every other option. I mean, that does happen sometimes. But for me, I can just tell you my approach. When I was first elected to the state house, ethics reform was something that people talked about, but it wasn't maybe the first issue that they brought up.
Yeah.
And, you know, I just kept talking about it. And then after a while, like by the end of my time in the House, every time I would have a town hall or when someone would stop me in the grocery store, they would ask about, well, how are things going with ethics reform? And it became probably, if not the top issue, one of the top issues of concern to constituents in my district. My plan as Secretary of State is to say, okay, now that I'm the chief elections officer, I need to speak truth to people outside my district. Now my district is the whole state, and I need to make sure that people all over the state know that this is this is one of the biggest problems facing our state government and its ability to serve others. And if my goal is to make that case around the state so that legislators go to the grocery store in their district or hold a town hall in their district and they're asked about it, because there's no such thing as big ethics. I mean, there's no interest group that's going to help us get this done. And so it has to be powered by people in the communities of legislators.
Well, I've written many times in columns that that's exactly what needs to happen. Kevin, thank you for the call. Let's go to Gabriel from Kansas City, Missouri. Gabriel, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hi. Quick question. First of all, congratulations on the win.
Thank you.
And quick question about early voting. What do you intend to do? What can you do in terms of formally instituting and expanding it? That's all.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you.
So I think early voting is really important. We're one of only 15 states that doesn't have it. It's really not a partisan issue in most places around the country. And what I learned during the campaign as I traveled the state is that there's really no reason for it to be a partisan issue in Missouri either, because I think a lot of people assume that this is an urban or suburban issue. But when you campaign in rural areas the way that I did, you know, for a year, you meet an awful lot of people who bring it up just the same amount there as they do anywhere else. And I think a lot of the time, you know, they'll tell you anecdotes about how, you know, look, I live 15 minutes from my polling place, and if the weather is real bad on election day, I'm probably not going to get the opportunity to vote.
Yeah.
And so this is something that people care about all over the state. The very first and easiest step that we can take is, you know, right now we have this system in Missouri where we have absentee voting early. But you have to say that you're not going to be able to vote. You're not going to be where you live on election day. We can just get rid of that, and we can just say we can have what's called no excuse absentee voting, and we can do it with the infrastructure we have in place. We can do it without any additional cost. And I think that at a very minimum, we should take that step and then investigate, you know, what more we can do to really encourage.
You think there's a chance you can pass a legislation like that this next year?
Well, you know, interestingly, when at times during the campaign, when my opponent was asked about it, he too, you know, while we didn't agree on a lot of policies having to do with absentee voting, you know, in terms of mailing in your ballot, he would say that, you know, no excuse absentee voting made sense to him. So, there, you know, if there can be bipartisan agreement on that in a race for Secretary of State, I see no reason why there shouldn't be able to be bipartisan agreement on that in the legislature.
Well, one of your predecessors, Secretary of State Matt Blunt, when he was in that office, called for it. Still has Robin Carnahan, a Democrat, over her 8 years in office. So it's got a long history here of people at least advocating it in your position and not getting a lot of success yet, but at least talking about the idea.
And you know, we're going to continue to push for it. And I think one key is I've noticed just presidential election years is when people really notice that we need early voting more than any other.
And then it fades away.
Right. And so we've got to make sure to take advantage of that enthusiasm that people have for it now. And then we've got to keep talking about it so that, you know, if we're not able to get it done in the first year, then we just make sure that people remember why they want it so badly.
Now, what else does the Secretary of State do? Because we're talking here about election reform and all of that stuff, which is you're the chief elections officer for the state. What else does the job do?
Well, you know, obviously elections tend to be very high profile. But in addition to that, you have business registration. You know, whenever anyone is going to start a business in the state,
you got to sign up.
Right. And you've got to file paperwork with the Secretary of State's office. I'm excited about that part of the office in particular because I think the most important thing that anybody holding a state office can do right now is focus on jobs. And I think that's a tremendous opportunity to connect entrepreneurs in Missouri with innovation centers, with incubators.
You talked about this in the campaign trail.
Right. Yeah. Local chambers. And we can do all of that without an additional dime of taxpayer dollars. And so we're gonna have a bit of a shift of the focus of the Business Services Office without losing any of the great service that they provide. Because they've made incredible steps in making it easier and less expensive to start a business. And that creates this opportunity for us to focus on helping folks be successful in those businesses so we create more jobs. In addition to that, the office regulates securities, so protects folks, particularly seniors, from fraud. A lot of people don't realize that Missouri is actually the number two state in the country for the financial services sector because you have so many of these companies headquartered in St. Louis.
Yeah.
And so that's a very important part of the job.
You know, one of the big issues that we mentioned that for any Secretary of State these days is approving the ballot language that voters review, Jason, on the wording of all these ballot issues that are coming before voters in Missouri. And there's obviously more of that than ever before. Tell us why that's so important and what you'll do as Secretary of State to make sure the ballot language is nonpartisan and even Steven and all those good things. Yeah.
Well, you know, this is obviously an area where our state is going in a direction where a lot of the major issues are going to be decided by voters at the ballot box. That's just been the trend, and it's increasing. And so that's why it's one of the reasons that I felt it was so important that we have somebody in there who takes a nonpartisan approach. And so that's what we're going to do. I mean, we'll take a nonpartisan, straightforward, fair approach to writing ballot language. We won't, you know, take poll-driven language, you know, that comes from interest groups. I think the key is to make sure that folks know exactly how an issue is going to affect their everyday lives, to try and remove the politics from the issue as best you can, and then just, you know, do a straightforward job and do it yourself every time.
You know, I've known you for a bunch of years, and I just learned this morning that you are related to a guy named John Kander who wrote the musical Chicago.
Yeah.
Am I right about that?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. So what else can you do besides be Secretary of State? Are you a singer? Are you a dancer? What's your thing?
I tell you, one of the worst things about coming from a there are not many bad things about coming from a family that's really got a lot of musical talent, except if you have none. And
none whatsoever.
I sometimes struggle to tap my foot to a beat, but I can't sing, and my wife would probably agree that I can't dance. But you know,
by George, you can be Secretary of State.
My uncle has sometimes told me that politics is showbiz for ugly people, and maybe that's true.
Well, Jason, so good to have you here. Congratulations again.
Thanks very much, Steve.
That's Jason Kander. He's Missouri's next Secretary of State. He becomes that on January 14th, 2013. You can find more information about our broadcast at kcur.org. Don't forget to follow KCUR on Facebook and this program on Twitter. We're at KCUR Up to Date. And you can follow me on Twitter at Steve Kraske. Tomorrow on the show, the ethics professors tackle how to behave at sporting and when exploring outer space. Also, Brian McTavish returns with our weekend to-do list. The show is produced by Steven Steigman, Danny Alexander, and Beth Lipoff. I'm Steve Kraske of the Kansas City Star.
and you are up to date.